This message you're about to listen to was recorded live at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the Throne Room Parish, Transcorp Hilton, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
Myself and my daughter took a flight to Ibadan. And as we started, I was returning her to school. And as we started ascending, I noticed the plane kind of jerked. And the best word is coughed. We kept climbing. And as we climbed and gained a certain altitude, there was a shuddering coming from what was the right side of the plane. Now, known to me, I haven't been at the morning prayers. There's been the prayer of deliverance from air crash. Am I right? Yeah. Not only in our prayer meeting, I understand that apostles in the marketplace also had a witness from one of their prayer prophetic partners to avert an air crash. And so we were up there and the shuddering continued. And someone next to me said, is this how you people's plane sounds or shakes? I said, actually, I don't like the sound. Let's call the air hostess. I called her. I said, would you please communicate to the captain that we don't quite appreciate the sound we're hearing coming from the airplane on the right side? And she said to me, yes, ma'am, no problem. I went to him myself, but he says there's nothing to be worried about. As soon as she turned away, I told to the people beside me, I said, let's start praying. If an air hostess found something strange about the sound, then there's something strange. No sooner had I said that and I started to pray, then we heard an announcement from the captain that, distinguished passengers, ladies and gentlemen, we have discovered a technical fault with the plane. Please don't panic. We're going to turn the plane around and attempt to land in Abuja. Well, at that point, those who weren't praying started. We didn't panic. The regional pastor, Daddy Ibitai, was on the flight. Another regional pastor from Ibadan was on the flight. Saratu's aunt was on the flight. We had all come in, as it were, from Saratu's father's 70th birthday, the reason why I hadn't gone with my daughter earlier. And then I held my daughter, and I started to pray. And it was a prayer of panic. And after a while, I said to myself, Dayo, Mashiberu, stop shaking. An air crash in Nigeria would be too much of a tragedy at this time. And not with us, the people in this plane in particular. One, two, but not everyone. Daddy Joe just gave a message on the Monday at the event we were at about not knowing your time when you go. But he didn't mean it like this. So I held my daughter and we started praying. Well, she, afterwards when we landed, said something to me. Because she fell asleep and woke up when everything had been averted. And according to the language and communication of the pilot, he said, we have just concluded what is a visual aerial descent. In other words, there was no communication between the plane and the tower. How he landed that plane was distinguished aviation. Aviator manship with the anointing of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next day when I went, the same flight, but not the same plane. And I had to ask, I hope it's not the same flight. I hope it's not the same plane. He said, no. I said, where's the captain? He said, no. I said, the one flying. He said, no. Actually, it was the owner of the airline that flew the plane that day. God put on that flight the one man who could land the flight at such a time of adversity. I want to pray for you. And in praying for you, I want to say what my daughter said as well. She's 12 years old, and she said to me, Mom, I prayed, and God told me this airplane will not crash because of me and my blessings. She said, and then I went to sleep. I said, you're so right. You slept like a baby through this. God will place on that flight. Whatever journey you're on right now that is being challenged, He will put the one person that needs to be there. He told my daughter, because of you, it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of Daddy Bitayo. It was because of her. He told her, this flight will not crash. There will be the one person, and maybe you, for which no destruction will come in to your situation. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare you blessed, and I declare you preserved. It is not appointed that the throne room will lose any one of us in any form of tragic collision or encounter in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, I worship you. Amen. I'm speaking to church today on that which has been a message ongoing, the power of service. And I would like to testify, the power of service manifests in fruits and dynamics of the workings of God as a miracle worker. My husband, Olatunde Benjamin Lani, was a stammerer, shy, unable to face crowds. Even the first time ever that he was put to minister, we looked for him, Daddy Obanuri and I, after the ministration. He was nowhere to be found. We looked for him everywhere. My husband left where he had ministered and walked home. And on his way home, he said, I really thought about attempting suicide. He said, because I couldn't understand what nonsense I said. And you were all pretending. I thank God there is evidence that we were not pretending then, because you are not pretending now. The power of service is what I've seen my husband become a living template of. Thank God he's not here today. But I testify to the praise of God that when you serve God, and I always say, because of the love of a woman, my husband is standing serving God today. He just came to chase me in Redeem Christian Church of God. He didn't know God was chasing him. And even at the appointed time, when he was called to serve in the throne room, it was the last thing on my husband's agenda or timetable till this date is to be man of God. And maybe that's why God finds him such a worthy vessel. I don't call my husband man of God. I call him a true son of God. When you serve in truth, you will come into a place of manifesting true sonship. And I believe that the grace that is speaking through him is a grace speaking through all of us. I went to minister somewhere last week, Sunday, and my opening was 100% God wants to heal you. Where are you right now? Come out. And they came out. Someone was delivered of a heart condition. Somebody had a marital situation. The wife had been restrained. We had, you know, I'm just saying this. It's not just an overflow. It's an impartation. The power of service is not to impress you. It is to impact and translate to that which worked with Jesus. So that everywhere he went, like pastor is in Ireland now, he was doing good. There were healings. There were strong deliverances from those who were oppressed of the devil. And I declare and I decree in this place even now, a lifting up of the curse of depression, of every force of adversity that has caused people to become reduced in their spirits and in their mind, weighed down by heaviness and a sense of reproach, not being good enough, being left behind, lost. There's an anointing that is treating conditions that are not just the bone and the marrow of that which is physical and sick, but that which is diseased in your psyche, in your thoughts, in your heart, in your children's academics, in your marital conditions, in the place where you have waited so long. You are giving up, but God says, your extremity is my opportunity. I'm stepping in. This morning, the power of service is the expression of the anointing of God. A real supernatural invocation and power to break the stronghold of those things that have held you bound and down in that which is a contrary habit. It contends with the righteousness of God from our tongue to our toes. It is something that we step into what we should be stepping away from, and yet we seem so drawn and pulled to it. But the God of strong deliverance this morning by service, by this message, has appointed where you came with a problem, you are living here with your solution. God is not a man, so he's not a liar. He's not the son of man who will promise and say, I will do this. But then things change. And the son of man says, I'm sorry. He repents. I can't do it. I'm helpless. I'm unable to. I'm incapacitated. I want to help, but I'm helpless in helping you. But one thing I'm confident of, where I'm unable to help you, where I've made a promise and I've been able to come through, the God who has helped and is a helper will answer the prayer of the one who is helpless to help but has known to pray for you. The power of service is a place of impact. It's not a place of creating impression to impress anybody. When Jesus went out at 12 years old, he acted as a child, immature, went to the temple. Yes, he impressed the Pharisees, but that was not his place of calling. That was not his place of assignment. He went at a time to impress, not to impact. And it is recorded, Jesus was lost. They were looking for him. When you go where you are not assigned to go, at a time when you're not assigned to be there, you will be lost to the place, one, of your covering, your parents, your leadership, two, to the place of your assignment. The next time Jesus was seen in the power of the miracle and his move was at the wedding of Cana. It was 21 years later, by the calculation of Jesus beginning ministry at the age of 30, from 12 to, well, I would say 18 years, the beginning presentation of adulthood. And when his mother came to him, what do you have? No, it's not yet my, you see, now he had become hesitant. He wasn't so full of that braggadocio. So many of us in the time of service, you want to come out with your braggadocio. In the name of Jesus, make it able. I can pray. I can do this. No. Do all that and keep growing. Keep serving. Stay in that place. Stay in that place of your service as unto the Lord, and not as an eye-pleasing servant, a man-serving servant. And when the time comes, something will be thrust on you, because you'll be singled out. Jesus was singled out, yes, by his mother. And she said, whatever he tells you, whatever he tells you to do, do. 18 years of process. And then it went on to 33. And at 33, when he was 21, full, mature, he was taken up. And we will call it a tragedy, but it was the plan of God. I don't know what you're looking at now. It looks like a tragedy. Tell your neighbor, it's the plan of God. And so Jesus went from that time of turning water to wine And the next thing was Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11. A vital place, a vital set time, a vital encounter. And this was the wilderness. And if you're looking at that scripture, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The place of service is a place of being led of the Spirit, not led of yourself. And yet it was that he will be tempted of the devil, taken not into a place of prosperity, but into a place of wilderness. And when he got there, he went through the fasting 40 days and 40 nights. The tempter came, verse 3, and said to him, command these stones be made bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. That's the highest place. People get to the highest place in church with eye service, but it's not anointed to deliver the true service. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again. I don't know what your agains have been, but trust God. There is a coming through. And that coming through, as we work through this scripture, Jesus says in verse 10, get thee hence, Satan. As I'm speaking into someone's life specific now, resisting that devil that has been calling you names again and again and again, pointing an accusing finger at you, making you look at yourself and see shame instead of the glory of God. And the Father says through Jesus, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shall you serve. The place of service, the anointing of service, is not by power, it is not by might, it is by the Spirit. Because that which is of power can fail. It can be reduced. The same as strength. A man of strength today, when he is 17, is a man who is not so strong when he's 70. Strength, power, short it is. 1 minute you're there, the next minute, the power is gone. People would say in the old times, Nepa. There's a blackout. But when you're led of the Spirit, you will find that you follow in that which preserves you from entering into excess, getting carried away with the excitement of life, the temptations, the distractions, the attractions. These things draw us away from the place of our power, the place of the altar of our service. God is calling to us. He's calling to us with a voice that is looking for as many as will worship, as will serve him in spirit and in truth. Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. For a topic today, really, it's just, you are born to serve. You and I are born to serve. You will say, to serve who? Because I'm speaking from a church pulpit, the obvious answer is going to be to serve God. Beyond that, God created you to serve, not just to come to him in that fellowship of service, but to serve your generation, to serve your time, your set time, to serve the place of your calling, of your assignment, of your task, to serve your nation, to serve your community, to serve your family, to serve that which is unborn in you, purpose, dreams, to serve a nation, to serve Nigeria. at such a time as this. The power of service from the altar is not to be contained within four walls. It is a breakthrough anointing. So that when you come in the power of service into your space, into your corporate environment, into your community, you carry with you the power of the fragrance of God to work what is not working and turn it around. Several years ago, I went to Abba for a ministration. I can't remember how many years, maybe about 8. To the glory of God, I just met a lady from that encounter on Friday. And she said to me, "Ma, do you remember me? Oh, you prayed with me." We had a woman of God, 17 years gone from her husband, a mighty woman of God, and I asked you to pray. And you pray and you decreed and you said, "Ma, I want you to know from that time of prayer, within a month, that woman was home." And she has remained since then doing mighty works. You never know where your prayer will be an answer. I love doing what I do, looking the way I look, because I don't look like it. But I bless God that every encounter is an opportunity for a demonstration of His power. That is service. And I say that to the glory of God. Isaiah 42:1 says again, "Behold my servant, God is looking for servants whom I uphold." God will uphold you. Mine elect, God has elected you. He who God has elected, He first selected. He selected you in the DNA of who you are, planted in the womb of your mother by the seed of your father. You were conceived in purpose for assignment and service in the mind of God. Then released by God into your generation. Your birthday is simply an announcement of your set time. Your star set up in a realm. Your reference for dignity and pedigree of God in you. What spirit is this? For His elect, in whom His soul delights. God delights in servants. God delights in service. God delights when my husband and I on our own are sitting, reflecting on the amazing ministrations of throne room priests, remembering how you started from oh so small to oh where you are. We are delighted. Oh, our Sunday school teachers teaching with evangelism. Pastor, look, we can't stop. Faithful, faithful members who have been with us and watched us grow from our smallness to our allness right now, and God is not stopping, and we are humbled. But most importantly, every time and time again, in the place of gratitude, we delight, we are happy. God is looking for servants. He says, "I have put my spirit upon him." And I ask, what spirit is this? What spirit is it that rests upon the servant of God and the service of the servant? It is the spirit of Isaiah chapter 11. The spirit of the Lord God upon you. That spirit of God resting on you is as the brooding of the spirit over everything that was dark, chaotic, without form and void. People are looking like you. You don't look like it. Just like Pastor and I did not look like this. But in you, by the commandment of God, let there be light. And the brooding of the Spirit, by that which the Spirit is resting on, there is going to be a separating of the things that are contending for that which by God is appointed to rise up and stand in the valiance of a mighty, mighty servant of the living God. What spirit is this? Seven spirits. Seven manifestations, seven expressions. The spirit of wisdom and understanding upon you, amen. The spirit of counsel and might upon you, amen. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, amen. And this is the manifestation in seven stages. One, he shall make you of a quick understanding in his fear. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you have that, you have all. Tell your neighbor, I have all. Perfecting holiness is separation unto God. Not a religious, hypocritical, pretentious, Christianese attitude. But a right standing, upright standing with God in the place of pedigree with grace and integrity with holiness. You shall have a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Two, you will not judge after the sight of your eyes. The servant of the Lord does not walk with the outward. You walk with the direction of the Spirit. The servant of the Lord does not reprove after the hearing of his ears. You can't tell me something. I've learned this so well from Pastor. It's not just there are two sides to every story. There are more than two sides, I promise you. Pastor and I have discovered there are many sides, all kinds of sides to the story. So the best thing is set it up on the right side. By the righteousness of God, in the place of prevailing grace and his prayer, there will be an answer of peace. Because none is condemned. None is condemned by God. He is long-suffering with the sinner. Nobody is condemned. You are not condemned. I don't know what it is you've done. You did last night, and God help you for doing that last night. But I dare say, there is therefore now no condemnation. But will you bring your contradiction to the altar, that he may raise you up for his service? He says, but with righteousness, number four, he will judge the poor. He will reprove, number five, with equity, the meek of the earth. Number six, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And number seven, with the breath of his lips, shall he slay the wicked. This is not an exercise in showing someone that you can reel off a number of mountain of fire prayers. It's saying one thing, and everything hears and obeys. Who is this that wind and the waves obey him, they said? Who is this that commands the storm and it ceases? And right now, that storm, whatever it is, ceases in Jesus' name. Yes, these manifestations and expressions of the Spirit of the living God resting upon his servant that he presents. When God says, behold my servant, he says, I'm going to show you off. I'm going to show you up. I don't need you to show off. Just show up. Then I will show you off myself. The living God. If you are born to serve, you ask a question. Who do I serve? How do I serve? When do I serve? What am I serving? I've already spoken about serving that dream, that purpose, that assignment God has appointed in you. How do you serve? Giving it all to God. All. You are not creating an impression. You are effecting an impact. It's a calling. And even though we are born to serve, we must first answer the call. Have you answered the call to serve? Have you really picked up that point of connection in your spirit and answered and say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, I say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you. Lord, I will obey. And let me say this, talking about obedience. 2 days ago, I was brought to a point of grief when my dog went and killed my hen. It may seem funny. You can ask them at home. I've still not come out of it. She just laid 11 eggs. It takes 18 hours to create an egg. I don't know how many dreams in you have come to that place when all of a sudden something comes. Not only did my dog eat the hen, it ate the eggs. Not only did he eat the eggs, the next day he went and dug that place looking for more.
So if I'd buried my hand there,
and I named the dog Pastor's dog, PD. That is not Pastor's dog. He killed Pastor's hen. Pastor's wife's hen. PWH. But you know what? God had spoken to me. God said, look at how it pains you that a hen, chicken, was killed with these eggs. When I was warning you, Dayo, did you listen? If you walk in the prophetic, you better come back to your calling of obedience. God showed me how I drifted. He said, you should thank me. It's not your children. I don't know what you're going through. You better thank God that he's still pulling your ear like he pulled mine. And he's giving you an opportunity to turn around and come into obedience. The oil of this service is your obedience. Otherwise, you'll end up a casualty. It is so easy to be familiar with the fact that you get revelation. You can speak it. How many of you understand? I don't speak by enticing words. But God, please anoint the words so that none will be able to resist nor gainsay. I'm not speaking because I am an English language student. I didn't even make such a great grade with my English language at University of Ibadan. Second class lower because I was partying. Thank God for mercy. If you're a student here, don't waste the opportunity you have for academic excellence, or as Pastor puts it, academic acuity. When it's time to be a student, study. Study. Leave rocking. Born to serve. You've been birthed by the matrix of God to be his servant. At an appointed time of life, in an appointed space and place of reference, to an appointed generation of an appointed bloodline, the blood of Jesus and the genealogy of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you were born, when I was born with a specification. I was born like you to serve. I'd like us all to pray now. Whatever has seduced you out of your place of service, whatever has distracted you, pulled you away from the place of power in service, this morning, by the grace of God, I pray into you that which shall raise you up in the power of life, same as it raised up that army of exceeding might in the valley of dead bones. I pray into you that which by the breath of God causes that which has broken down to be built up again. Where you've been hopeless, God says, I will turn your shame away. Where you have lost trust in God because you've lost trust in yourself, God says, you will no longer be confounded in Jesus' name. The Lord has appointed that as you walk with him in faith, you will attain that which you have not yet seen, the substance of that which you hope for. In Jesus' name, you will have as the elders a good report. By the power of life in Christ and in God, I declare quickened in you, alive in you, every dead dream, every failure of hope. I speak into you the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the Spirit of the living God that turns you back from the way of the flesh and carnal desire. Oh God, I ask and I pray today that your people in hearing will hear your spirit in their spirit, and by the quickening of their spirits, they shall be rebirthed into this covenant, into this blood tie, into this deliverance by the power that is in your breath and the quickening that is in your body. Jesus,
as Joseph was a servant par excellence. And he served and he deserved all the way through, to the point that his bones were carried through by his own prophetic instruction. So shall it be unto your sons, unto your daughters, unto fathers, unto mothers, unto children of God, prodigals returned and restored in the name of Jesus. I declare cursed. I declare rooted out, cast down, thrown out every force of the stranger, every form of bondage, and embrace with that which does not glorify God. I declare your people loosed. I declare your people free. I declare your people delivered. I declare your people accompany a host of servants, oh God, that you will strengthen with might in their inner man and cause to step out, stand out, break out in the place where the enemy had come to break them down. You say the axe is laid to the tree, but I dare say to you, the root that is in the ground shall bear fruit. Whoever you are right now, there is hope for a tree. Though it be cut down at the scent of water, it shall yet bud again. If you are here this morning, if you are here right now, this afternoon, I ask you in Jesus' name, come here. The Lord blessing you, come here. Either you're giving your life to Christ or you're rededicating your life to the place of his service. Wherever you are, don't hold back. We are not asking you to become a worker. We are asking you to become a servant. Where you are, become a servant. Become his servant. All he's asking for, all he needs from the throne room right now, all he needs from you and me, is that we become expressions of his righteousness, walking in the power and the life of all he is, and everything he gives. Will you come now? Yeah. Whatever your name, will you come here? Whatever your shame, the Lord is calling. He's calling you. He's calling you. Oh, will you come here? Oh, he says, come unto me. All you are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, come near, and I will draw near unto you, that I may bless you, says the Lord, because I am healing. Woo! Lord, yes, you're healing. And even the barren, the empty shall sing again. What have you been emptied of? Please don't hold back. There's no holding back. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I don't know what it is you need to pray for, but begin to pray and say, Father, you've made a way. My sister, I saw you standing. Come, let me hold your hand. Come. Please don't hold back. There is a work he is working, and it's in the now, it's in the present, and it's in his presence. And I declare great grace to help you, to defend you, to hold you up. He says, this is my servant, the one I uphold, mine elect. Receive that grace, that power, that might in Jesus' name. Who are you? The Lord is lifting you up. The Lord is bringing you out. The Lord is raising you up. Jesus. Receive his breath, his life, by faith. Jesus. Jesus. Sister Chichi. Sister, okay. Makakakakide de bosha. Mendege de bosha. Ndararake de boskari bro. Father, Lord, we thank you. For as many of you as are receiving Jesus as Lord, whoever you are, I just ask you and ask the church, please stand with us. Lord Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. I confess you my strong tower and my deliverer. And I confess that I have sinned. And where is a backsliding individual? You failed again and again. But the Lord says, I bring today new breath. So today you confess yourself, say, I am a sinner. But Lord, I receive your redemptive power today. Lord, I receive your grace in Jesus' name. If you are standing in this line for new strength and an anointing for becoming a brand plucked out of the fire, delivered from every affliction, then today I pray for you. By that same grace the Lord has used to draw me out. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and drew him out of many waters. I say, however many the waters may be over your life, you are drawn out in Jesus' name. And I declare the testimony. I declare the testimony of the Moses of Israel in Jesus' mighty name, that you are drawn out of your waters. You are preserved in the mighty name of Jesus. And you are preserved unto his grace and his grace only. Whatever has been speaking disgrace, whatever has been speaking disappointment, whatever has been speaking disillusionment, whatever has been speaking adversely, we declare those things shut up in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever has reduced you, whatever has halted and limited you in the place of your breaking out, I declare from now in the name of Jesus, break forth. Break forth and break out. Everything that has been a curse of breakdown, everything that has been an affliction of pain, in the name of Jesus, that which has been Mara, Lord, we anoint, let it become sweet and sweeter in Jesus' name. Father, we honor you. Father, Lord, we give you praise. I just have one more thing I will say. I want to pray concerning marriages. Pastor has been praying for healing. A lot of things are happening that people are unable to speak about. And today in particular, and specifically in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for marriages. I pray for treatment of marriages. Every marriage right now that has been under a severe attack and affliction, every form of marital disorder, every form of marital disharmony, confusion, whether it is in the life of this church or someone connected to you, I decree into it right now the peace of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, and the deliverance of God in Jesus' name. I come against that scenario that is boasting itself, and I decree by the boast of the living God who gives his voice, that no longer shall that boast be heard in that marriage in Jesus' name. No longer in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, I thank you. The Lord gave me a word and I speak it to the life of every single divorced sister, mature, single, whoever you are, widow, wherever you have been stranded as it seems without a man, God says to tell you, you are not husbandless. I will stand for you as your husband. I am not just the husband of the widow. I am the husband of the divorcee. I am the husband, he says, of that weeping woman. For every man who's in a place of emptiness and loneliness, challenged by the scenario of the economy right now, the Lord God Almighty says to tell you, I will show myself mighty in your behalf. Your dignity as a man will not be taken from you. Your strength as a firstborn will not be taken from you. Your pedigree as a son of God, he says, I will potentiate it. Father, Lord, the things I say, uphold me, O God, that the testimony that is sure shall be spoken of, even in this same altar, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for as many of us as are praying for our children. Our children will not be stranded. That which the enemy has set up to bring a curse to us as a body who call on the name of God, we resist in the name of Jesus. I pronounce over every bloodline, over every family here and every child, every son and daughter here or outside of this country, by the mercies of God, our children are preserved. They are delivered. As the Lord preserved Joseph, as the Lord preserved Daniel and the three Hebrew, they are preserved. As the Lord set up a deliverance for Esther, our daughters are preserved. They will not be compromised. They will not be compromised. And where there has been compromise, today we lift up a prayer. Please pray in the spirit. Where there has been compromise, where our children have gone and joined with children that they call strange children, children of disobedience of this world, or where our children themselves have become children of disobedience, we raise up by the mercies of God His voice to speak to them and to cause them to be yielded to the righteousness of grace and glory. Father, we honor you. Oh God, we bless you. In Jesus' name. My sisters, please just minister to them. And as many of them as need to go and be with Jesus. With the ministering team, should please do that. The Lord had me prepare this song. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He shines on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Let's stand as servants of God, and as we take this next verse, take it as a confession unto service and embracing the power of that service in Jesus' name. Not a burden we bear, not a burden, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He will richly pay. He doth richly repay. Not a grief, not a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey. There is no to be happy. Third verse. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay for the favor He shows. For the joy He bestows, and for them who will trust and obey.
Oh, trust and obey.
There is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet.
We will sit at His feet, or we will walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Please hold your neighbor's hand. Trust and obey, for there's no happy in Jesus but to trust. One more time, Lord, we say we will. Father, we will trust and obey to be happy. Father, we thank you As our hands are locked together, it is a lockdown on faith. We look up unto you from whence cometh our help. And we declare that our help cometh from you, O God. As your servants, use us as your warriors. Use us as your gatekeepers. Use us as your waiters. Use us as your handmaidens. Make us accountable, diligent, faithful, loyal, honest, yielded, teachable. We are clay. You are the potter. Mold us and use us. We are your servants. We are happy in Jesus. Lord, we trust and obey. May the power of service, born to serve, go with you. In Jesus' name I pray.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. To download this message, please visit our podcast at The Throne Room on your handheld device or computer. For any inquiries, call 08087-000004 or visit the Life Center at number 20 Colorado Close off Dame Street, Maitama, Abuja. You can also visit our website, www.rccgthroneroom.org. You are highly lifted, highly favored. Thank you.